The Los Angeles Lakers were pathetic. They were soft.
It was a horrible effort.
Everything that could possibly have gone wrong went wrong for the Lakers.
They pretty much just kicked our ass. I mean, there's nothing else really to say.
Oh! Booker cannot miss!
It's been a roller coaster as far as all year, especially injuries.
LeBron and Anthony Davis out. The Lakers lost again.
How much ground do they lose to playoff time?
The Phoenix Suns have beaten the defending champion.
It's been mentally draining, spiritually, emotionally draining. And given everything we had up until this moment, made a better man win.
He's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. It's Friday. What is it that we
get
to
be
do?
What?
Yes.
They want
Jalen. The king, Jokic, is moving on to the second round. We have the Clippers on the brink of elimination. But of course, we're going to start the show with the man they call Book. Devin Booker wasn't just in his bag. He had the Duffy out, 22 in the first quarter. Jalen, what do you think about the Suns' performance?
I think the Lakers got waxed.
Waxed.
That's what I think. And Devin Booker was the guy that kicked it off. Mm-hmm. And the way he started the game, he left no doubt who was going to win. Like, the Lakers made slight runs where they started to play faster, put LeBron at like the 4-5, shooter tried to pick up 94 feet, that type of thing. But every time things got near 10, give it to Book, let him cook. That's all it was. And it was great to watch because he was taking everybody to school.
Everybody. Anybody in front of him.
Anybody in front of him, he was taking to school. And it was great to see him in his first playoff performance as a 2 seed show up on a big stage like Los Angeles, playing against a player like LeBron James in an opportunity to do a closeout and actually make it happen.
I know the Lakers are Lakers and we're going to get to them, but we need to celebrate the Suns for a second because it's Ayton had a great performance.
Yes.
And like you mentioned, the runs the Lakers went on, and we both stayed up late to watch this, but they didn't really get threatened. But anytime there's a threat, and they said, you know what? Let me put Chris Paul in the game at a critical moment in the fourth quarter. And Chris Paul's leadership, experience, and savvy does what for them?
It sets a calming influence on the team. It's like, oh, okay, they're making a run. Drop it off to Bridges for a three. Drop it off to Johnson for a three. Drop it off to Crowder. You know what I'll do? I'll shoot. And you know what he let them know? That I'm that dude. I'm that deal. They had to reinvent himself. By the way, remember, at one point of his career, Chris Paul was actually traded to the Lakers.
Good point.
And it was vetoed.
David Stern was like, nah, y'all.
So just think about this. As a member of the Clippers, Lob City didn't get it done. People assassinated Chris Paul's character. As a member of the Houston Rockets with James Harden, they didn't get it done. People assassinated Chris Paul's character. He had to go back to Oklahoma City and reinvent his name, his game, and his value. And with the Suns playing the way they did in the bubble, now you add him. Now you add Crowder. And it's a beautiful movie to watch him beat his guy LeBron James in a playoff series in the first round.
Jalen, you know how I feel about LeBron. I'm a LeBron stan. I'll say it into a microphone. I'm a stan for LeBron James ever since before he was in the league. I had higher expectations for him in this game. I had higher expectations for LeBron James. I don't know if he's 100% healthy or what happened, but I thought in an elimination game against the Suns, I kind of expected more from him, didn't you?
I think they call people like you Bron sexuals.
No, LeBron stan is fine. I think you put that. No, LeBron stan is fine.
Okay, got it. Here's the thing. When Jason Tatum is going against the Nets, we need him to put up big numbers.
50.
When Dame Lillard is going against the Nuggets,
55.
We need him to put up numbers. And if we're going to say you're in a conversation of GOAT with Michael Jordan, I need buckets. I don't need you looking at the sideline like, get me out.
Twice he asked to come out. He looked tired.
Now, I like to judge everything on the totality of what I see. Now, I saw 2 games ago, LeBron James didn't finish the game strong. He was passive at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the game after that, he left with 6 minutes to go or so. And I thought all of that was going to be a culmination of him getting ready to come out and be dominant.
That's
last
what I
night.
Thought, too. I thought if you're going to leave early in game 5, you're going to save it for game 6. There was like 4 possessions when he just like put his shoulders down and went and got a layup. Like 4 or 5 possessions where I was like, ooh, that's LeBron James we kind of need. And not for 4 or 5 possessions, for like 15.
Can I be this guy?
Yeah, go.
For you LeBron stans? Can I never have a conversation about GOAT again and compare him to Michael Jordan?
No, it's going to happen. LeBron's gonna play. You do not get that just because they lost the Suns.
Why not?
He's gonna play the league for like five more years. He could get two more championships.
He could.
So if that happens, you do not get to say from here on out we can't have the conversation anymore. No, you do not.
I have to tell people a secret. When Michael Jordan started winning championships, he never lost in the first round. It never happened once he started winning championships. It never happened.
Well, you know what? You know what? Here's the thing is LeBron has 17 excuses about this. The bubble, the early season, the injuries to AD. But there's something worth pointing out. Is Jamal Murray playing?
Not going to be able to do it.
Oh, they happened to?
No.
Oh, okay. No. So their second best player's out. And
LeBron is still in the GOAT conversation. He's just no Michael Jordan. Let me just tell you this, fam. No, I'm doing this because so many people who have this debate needed a visual like this. Like, a lot of these people that have these debates didn't see MJ play. So now seeing LeBron lose in the first round, it makes you now go back and look at the footage. It makes you go back and now pay attention to the script.
Okay.
And all I know is,
I can't believe we're doing this. At the same point in LeBron's career, MJ was with the Wizards. How many championships did he win with the Wizards?
With the Wizards, stop it.
Point in his career.
How many three-peats do LeBron have?
Zero.
Okay, MJ has two. Mic drop.
Let's move on. Because we have someone who's going to join the show right now. The gentleman's name is Rostradamus. Rostradamus is joining the show, and here's what Rostradamus said about the Lakers' title chances before the playoffs started.
The V's injured. They will not win the Western Conference. You know it, and I know it. If the Lakers are a part of the play-in, they will not win the championship this year. I don't believe that they're going to be able to achieve their goal if they are part of the play-in. If he's hobbled in any way, shape, or form, the Phoenix Suns will advance.
And here's the thing, like, I appreciate the Rostradamus love, but there's a reason why a 7 or an 8 seed has never won a championship in the NBA. The journey is just too tough. I ain't gonna even act like that was a genius call.
Not really.
It was just like, you gotta be the 2 seed, a 3 seed, and a 1 seed. Not gonna be able to do it.
And guess what? If your second player is not healthy, you're probably not gonna win the championship. This is kind of how it goes. Well, we have another team whose second player is not healthy, but they had a little more success than the Lakers did. That, of course, is the Denver Nuggets in their series against the Portland Trail Blazers. And I don't know if you're familiar with the work of a gentleman by the name of the Stretch Mark 5, Nikola Jokic, are you?
And also, let's not take him for granted. See, here's what I'm here to do. So before people was on the Denver bandwagon, shout to my guy Monte Morris representing Flint Town, doing work, scoring over 20 the last couple of games. All I know is on this show, we big up the Denver Nuggets. And then they became mainstream, one of the top teams in the West. And then the Joker became an MVP candidate.
Oh, he's MVP.
And then Capazzo became your guy. And we fell in love. The world appreciates Dame Dollar's greatness and how he made more threes in a series than any player ever. And you know what we doing? Ignoring that the Joker put them out of the playoffs. Without Jamal Murray. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
And how he did it is basically playing tall ball. Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., offensive
weapon. Can we talk about Michael Porter Jr.'s
first quarter?
Can we talk about his first quarter? Like, he just never missed.
Flames.
He just didn't miss.
Flames.
Did not miss.
Aaron Gordon trying to use his height to guard Dame Dollar. Nobody's going to slow him down. But here's what now is going to take place after Dame Dollar's Nip Hustle tweet, basically about his patience.
Oh, we're going to have that conversation
now? Let's have
the Blazers, the future of the Blazers conversation, because they have a lot of decisions to make. And the first thing I'm going to start with is there's one which is a very poorly kept secret. What is that?
Oh, that C.J. McCollum may be...
No, Terry Stotts is gone. First of all, Terry Stotts is gone.
Oh, Terry Stotts is.
He's been gone.
So here's... And by the way, Terry Stotts did a good job with the Portland Trail Blazers.
Brad Stevens did a good job with the Celtics. Doesn't mean you're going to keep your job.
But also, here's the difference. And I like the love you just threw me. I love you very much. But the Portland Trail Blazers ain't going to hire Terry Stotts to be the president.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
The only reason the Celtics did that is because they gave an extension. They had to pay him anyway.
And by the way, you can argue whose coaching stint was better, Terry Stotts over Brad Stevens.
Oh, you could.
With that being said, you do the opposite of the Green Bay Packers. You give Dame all of the money he wants, unlike Aaron Rodgers, who has no guaranteed money, and you give him all of the power and autonomy.
Say, what do you want, Dame?
What do you want? Who do you want? We'll make it happen. As a coach, as a teammate, whatever you would like, you have the keys to the kingdom.
It's okay. So you're Dame Lillard.
Yes.
I come to you and I say, Dame, what do you want me to do? What are three things I can do to help you take this team to the next level? Because we haven't gotten it done year after year after year.
Well, Dame wouldn't say this, but I'm going to say this.
Say it.
The Nets' big chess piece is CJ McCollum.
Yeah.
Like, he's the person that if you move him, you're going to get the most value, because quiet as it's kept, he can ball. And he needs the basketball actually in his hands more to thrive. And I'm not going to say playing alongside Dame slows down anybody's game, but what I will say is he'd be getting a lot more shot attempts in another situation.
It's a compliment to CJ that they should move him. That's right. How I feel. Like, yes. I just don't like redundant duos like Kawhi and PG. And I feel like it's not saying they need to move CJ McCollum to get better. It's CJ McCollum would thrive in a different environment where Dame Lillard's not in his team. And his value is high enough where you probably get 80 cents on the dollar. You can get a wing. You can get a big. Something that would help them. Something that complements Dame better.
Can I say this too? I'm disappointed in Nurkic. Mm. He's one of the most inconsistent, talented bigs in the NBA, and they really needed his productivity playing against his former team, and usually players are inspired in those situations. That's why when you're watching the footage of the Joker, put some old Joker highlights up there. When you're watching footage of the Joker, you see who's guarding him? Covington.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Covington's 6'7", 230 pounds, man.
They can't put cancer out there.
Come on, man.
They don't have another answer.
That's not because Nurkic
gets foul trouble. Correct. And you have cancer in Covington. They don't have another big. Zach Collins
look who's guarding him, man. When Nurkic can't get it done, it's like, well, I might as well take you out of the game. And so now, look.
Cove.
Like, that's not even fair.
I love Cove.
He's competitive. I'm just saying that it's a big man's game, and you and I know it. He has no chance to guard the Joker in the red area. No chance.
None. And Cantor can't either. Zach Collins is hurt. It's a roster problem, and Nurkic can't stay on the floor.
And I got to say this. This just came to me.
Is there another?
What Luka is to the perimeter players, the Joker is to the interior players.
Go ahead, try to double him. Go ahead, put a small on him. Go ahead, put a big on him.
Yeah.
There's no answer.
Yeah.
There's no answer to him as a riddle. Jalen, another question. There's been a player.
Well, I'm going to have to steal that and use it on countdown.
Go ahead. I love you. There's a player who's been rumored to be interested in playing in Portland, and Portland's interested in him coming to Portland. Who is that player?
You think that's Draymond Green, maybe?
Draymond Green, maybe.
Well, I've seen Dame tweet about it and like tweets. I've seen Draymond Green make sure that everybody knew his enthusiasm for how the Portland Trail Blazers play.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. When Klay comes back and Wiseman comes back, the Golden State Warriors may have a high pick in this year's draft. Salary-wise, they may start looking at the roster feeling like, you know what? He may be a player that they can use for value while he's still one of the best defensive players in the game. And you add him to a lot of squads, by the way. I like him in Boston. I would like him
anywhere. You're not asking Portland. Him to score. As long as he's not asked to score, I love Draymond Green as an NBA basketball player.
I would like him with the Clippers to play up front.
Anywhere. Yes, anywhere indeed. Where he's not asked to score 30 points a game, he's great.
But you know what's going to be great about the media this entire offseason?
What's that?
How all of the national media is going to put every player on the Lakers and the Knicks this offseason. I just can't wait.
The Knicks with cap space is just catnip for the media, and I'm
Kawhi
so
to the
here
Knicks,
for it. Oh, yeah, Chris
Dame
Paul to the
Lakers.
Chris Paul to the Knicks. Oh, yeah, Aaron Schroeder to the Knicks. Everyone's coming to the Knicks. Knicks are going to have 25 people on their roster by the time the offseason is over. Jalen, the Clippers have a problem, and that problem has a name.
Luka.
Luka is a problem for the Clippers, and they have no answer for that riddle, which is a line I look forward to listening to you say on Countdown tonight. You're watching Jalen and Jerome.
And I'm not going to shout you.
That's fine. It is on tonight. The Clippers up against elimination against Luka and the Mavs on ESPN at 9 p.m. and Countdown at 8 o'clock before that. Coming to you live from Pier 17 in the South Street Seaport District of Manhattan and presented by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose tonight up against elimination.
Tonight is the night.
The Los Angeles Clippers have a problem that they need to solve. And that problem has a name, and that name is Luka Doncic. What will Ty Lue do in this chess match?
You have to take the ball out of his hands. So let me teach everybody something that's very important that I would do. I'm giving you a trade secret that Jalen Rose would do if he was coaching or in a front office or a team. I would make sure the real estate from the opposite free throw line to the top of the three-point line is actually occupied defensively. So many times in the league, I'm watching all of these great players get a chance to just walk the ball up like they're strolling in the park. You can't allow James Harden and Luka Doncic to do that. You got to have players like Dylan Brooks and Schroeder that are actually up there. So that's what the Clippers have to do. So a guy like Patrick Beverley, who scored the loudest 4 points in the league.
Pat Bev?
Absolutely.
He's the answer?
I'm just saying, a guy like that, when Luka's across half court, you got to be turning them. And then when the action gets to the front court and then the screen and roll comes, that's when you get Kawhi in the action. That's when you get PG in the action versus getting Zubac in the action to whereas now you got to take Zubac out of the game and you got to take Beverly out of the game because neither one of them can guard Luka in the front court.
I'm going to Kawhi Leonard and saying, you're the best defender in the NBA. You're going to defend Kawhi. You're going to defend Luka. That's what you need to. You're going to defend Luka. And if they set a screen, try to get a switch, you're going to fight through the screen. You're the best defender in the NBA. Be that. Be our series MVP. Be our best player. We need you to guard their best player.
Not just him. Paul George, too. And so it's tough to put one player consistently on a guy like Luka who's going to get so many screens versus a guy like Steph Curry who's going to play off the ball. You can still force a lot of switches. But here's what they got to do. Play better against the zone. The Mavs played more zone in the previous game than they did the entire series.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was a coaching adjustment, adding Boban to go with Kristaps Porzingis to use their height to take away the mid-range game of the Clippers. I still feel, because the Mavs only had two players in double figures, and Luka's been outstanding, phenomenal, wonderful, the best player in this series, I'm still picking the Clippers to advance in this series.
That would be
I'm still
three
picking the Clippers to advance in this
both
series.
Teams, and then we have a game seven. Jalen, that's tonight. Tomorrow night starts the most exciting second round series that I can remember, and that is the Bucks against the Nets. And one thing that I love about this is me and you are on opposite sides of the coin on this one.
And you?
Tell me why you think the Bucks. Tell me why you're wrong. Tell me why you think the Bucks are going to win this one.
I'll tell you why. You see that right there? That's Giannis on the post.
Yep.
Turnaround jump shot. That's in addition to the game. You see that right there? That's Middleton in the clutch. Did you see Drew Holiday snatch Kyrie Irving's jewels? I like what I'm seeing from the Bucks. I like their chemistry, their cohesion, their ability to play multiple styles. That's why I think they're going to advance in this series. Giannis is going to be too unstoppable.
Jalen, you're
tall
right.
Tall man's game.
They have a superstar, and it is a tall man's game. And the Bucks have consistency. They've played together for so long, and added Drew Holiday. He's a great piece. You're right about that. But they can't stop the Nets. You know who the Nets have? Do you know who's on their team? Have you looked at their roster? Have you seen a game? You're like, you pointed to Giannis, you're like, look at that. That's the reason they're going to win. The Nets have three players. They are unstoppable offensive weapons.
What happened? What is this?
Knicks who?
What is this?
Let's go, Brooklyn.
You already jumped off the Knicks bandwagon.
I've been in Brooklyn for 11 years.
Oh, my God.
We live right next to the Barclays.
Don't try to justify it.
We're a block away from the Barclays,
New York,
me and Joey.
Get this guy. I'm going to call Killer Cam and Jim Jones on you,
Let
dog.
Him know. Let him know.
Come
Let's
on, man.
Go Nets.
Don't let
I'm
this
so
guy
excited
on the
about this
wagon.
Series. We're going to make a bet. I don't know what it's going to be. We're going to figure it out after the show on Monday. You'll know about our bet.
This
and
guy.
Stay tuned because there is so much more to get to. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, this weekend, a lot of NBA playoff basketball, and of course, this quote-unquote boxing match between Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul.
You see my OG pitcher to the left, Leonard Ellerbe, making sure he guides Floyd and keeps him undefeated, making sure they pocket as many zeros as possible as we go out and purchase this exhibition that he can't lose.
I'm not buying this.
That he won't get hit.
No, he literally cannot lose because there are no winners to the fight. They released the rules to the fight. There's no judges and no winners. This is a versus battle, not a boxing match. Jalen, we have some Lions news. First of all, you have a new head coach, and what is his approach to football again?
We're going to get up, and on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
We're going to bite a kneecap off. Well, here is your leader at a press conference wearing a racing helmet.
Well, like, I'm old enough to remember. You remember the movie Animal House?
Of course.
He seems like one of the guys that would have participated in that movie. And the thing about it is, he's a former tight end. He was a physical guy, a blocking guy. I know he wanted to show his enthusiasm for the job. We're going to bite a kneecap, and I want to put on the racing helmet. But ultimately, his job is going to be determined, good or bad, whether we actually win playoff games.
Jalen, you know that they had none other than Todd Gurley is rumored to be headed to the line.
Todd Gurley, that's my guy. But we won it over 5.5 games.
No, you're not.
Yes, we are.
No, you're not.
Jared Goff has the best offensive line. We got the best center. We just drafted well on the line.
We'll be back on Monday at 2 p.m. on ESPN.